Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Random Hour. It's just me here, Devin, today. And of course, Kyle's not here with us today. I've got a special guest with me. Got my good friend over here at the Grey Ghost Comics, Andrew. And we're going to let him have the floor to himself.
Never, ever just say it's just you, Mr. Devin, sir. You're Devin. You're the man. You speak to the internet, sir, and the internet listens.
I mean,
you can't just go, I'm just Devin. You're Devin. They really wrote a whole song about it in that Barbie movie.
Did they really?
It's called Just Ken. But they were talking about you.
Oh, okay. They were talking about just me?
Yeah.
I mean, I do have Kent's belt right now. Or at least the upper part.
Hi, everybody. I'm Andrew. This is here at Grey Ghost Comics, right here in Tifton, Georgia, in scenic downtown Tifton, Georgia. And some would say the heart of Tifton, Georgia.
That's right. But like I said, you're a good friend of mine. And actually, Kyle would have been with us today, but scheduling conflicts and things like that. And of course, we are big advocates on the show. We said before, we support local businesses. And of course, if you follow all three of our shows, we are the biggest Marvel, DC, and indie comic fans. So hey, why not come down to the local comic shop and just nerd out for a good hour? Andrew, you ready to nerd out for about an hour?
You know what? We can do that.
All right. And so, first thing I'm going to ask you, we're getting down to the non-nerd stuff. When did you guys open as a comic book shop?
We have been, let's see, almost 5 years ago now. It was October, September 2019.
Okay.
So, we opened up. We were small. We were a few hundred square feet to begin with. And then we've expanded out in the last few years. We're right at 2,000 square feet now.
Okay.
So it's pretty big. We have comics, toys, Funko Pops, signed comics, huge record selection. And our customers are pretty good, too.
Yeah. It's funny. I actually remember, so where we're filming right now, I remember I moved down here 3 years ago. And I remember when this whole wall right here didn't exist, right? This was part of the expansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. Because it used to be, I know people can't see it off screen, but that didn't used to be there, right? Or this whole wall, right?
This was kind of like another area for the building. It was like a storage area.
Uh-huh.
And we work close with the guy that owns the building. And mm-hmm. So what he's been doing is letting us grow as we need. And it's really cool that we have a lot of people that work with us in Tifton, mm-hmm. and we kind of just, like, have grown from there. We started out small to see how it was going to work out, and then we're getting pretty big.
Yeah. No, I just remember, like, all this was cut off, and mm-hmm. then I think I stopped coming for a couple of weeks. Next thing I walk in, you're just like, yeah, Dem, just avoid the sawdust. And I'm like, oh, wow. And just seeing it now, you guys can't see off screen, but there's literally, like, two huge posters of the best Spider-Man in the world, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Don't fight me there. Best Spider-Man in the world, Harley Quinn, and so of course some cool knicks and knacks and gadgets they built up. Pretty good shop. Would you say you guys are very family oriented?
Oh yeah, we very much try to cater to all ages, shapes, sizes. We very much like having family in here. We try to keep it down to a family friendly environment. We have comic books for kids. We have books for kids because I mean, really, that's where you want to do is get more kids into reading. Because comic books really are a gateway to reading for kids. And so, yeah, getting kids into reading, it's kind of important.
Okay, good. Now let me ask you this. What made you guys choose the name Grey Ghost Comics?
All right. Scott's the guy that owns the place, Scott Beasley. The Scott Beasley. The Beasleyest of all Beasleys. He really always enjoyed the Batman the Animated Series TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Batman the Animated Series TV show, Batman's hero growing up is the Grey Ghost, and it was the cartoon that he watched every day at home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Batman finally meets the Grey Ghost, and they go and they solve a crime together. That was actually the poster that's up there. It's Beware the Grey Ghost. That's the episode.
Okay.
The Grey Ghost is voiced by Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scott always thought it was hilarious that growing up, Batman's greatest hero was Batman. And that's the most Batman thing ever of, I'm my own hero. I'm Batman. And so that's where Scott's like, we're going to do Grey Ghost Comics. So it's kind of grown from there.
Okay. Let me ask you this, just because like I always nitpick with the legal aspect. Since Grey Ghost is a trademark of...
It is not.
It's not?
Grey Ghost actually existed before the TV show. Grey Ghost was... There was a... a person in the Civil War that was the name the Grey Ghost. There was a somebody else in World War II that was the Grey Ghost. There's a book by Clive Cussler called The Grey Ghost. So it's basically a name that's public domain.
Ah, okay.
So it's not trademarked. Believe me, my legal team looked through it.
Your legal team looked through it?
Yeah. My legal team, Scott Beasley.
Yeah, but our legal team is Kyle Crump, the host of this show. Don't worry. He's also our HR department.
Yeah.
I'm always in his HR office a lot.
My HR is, she's good. She's good people.
Yeah, your HR is good people, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. That's pretty
good. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool thing.
Oh, that's pretty good. So, like I said, let's see. Andrew, this is just a personal question.
Okay.
What got you into comics personally?
Well, I've just always been a voracious reader. And as a kid, let's see, where was I at? I was at Bowen's Drugstore.
Okay.
8 kabillion years ago, they used to have these stores that would have just things on the shelf, and you could walk in and purchase them with money. There was no swipey things.
No swipey things? Oh, whoa.
No swipey things.
No, whoa, you're the age gap right now is starting to hit.
You were handing people cash for things, but yeah, I.
You talking about that green stuff that comes out of Walmart if I ask for cash back?
Absolutely.
Oh,
but yeah, I found Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures. I was 6, somewhere around in there, and that actually the poster that's hanging up in the store. I'm just pointing to it.
Yeah,
is the
I know I am too. Trust me. That's why I'm like, ah, nobody can see the Great Spider-Man.
You're also doing it wrong. It's over there.
Yeah, it's like,
but yeah, it's I started reading Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures and Batman and X-Men and just kind of snowballed from there because I really enjoyed the art and the stories, especially like when it got into the 90s because I had started reading in the 80s, but like. Starting 92, 93, that's when everything just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was Executioner Song, Age of Apocalypse, Jim Lee artwork. Everything you see for the cartoon that's upcoming, the X-Men 97 book,
mm-hmm.
that's all based off of Jim Lee's artwork from 93. So I was just like, this was the best. So, like, X-Men has just got me hooked and kept me in it.
Okay. Let me ask you this, just off topic. How do you feel about X-Men 97? I just watched another teaser, I think, 2 days ago, did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
What's your quick thoughts?
I am so excited about it because they're steeping it in the original lore because mm-hmm. the original show never ended. They did the last episode. Professor X had died, quote unquote, and then that was it.
I thought he just ran off with his space girlfriend.
Well, no, they that's why he died.
Oh,
they killed him.
Oh. Listen, I binge watched all the I binge watched like all the 90s cartoons, like all of them ended, but it makes no sense, especially the Spider-Man one. I'm like, really? And he never found MJ.
Nope.
Spoiler.
The Spider-Man cartoon ended. That's really where we're hoping this goes, is because X-Men 97 has already got a huge buzz behind it. By the way, it drops in just a few days.
I know.
Very excited.
So trust me, and we're about to go on spring break for the school.
And what I like about it is they're doing the same thing that the original X-Men 97 cartoon did. The reason a lot of people jumped on it and the reason a lot of people liked it is it didn't speak down to kids.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go, all right, and here's Wolverine and he makes the poppy claws. No, it was like, this is what's going on in the world today. This is what's important. This is what we're dealing with. And it's animated. Because what they're leaning towards is, when you look in the trailer, Jean Grey's pregnant.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, she's in the back. You can see her. She's wearing a striped shirt, and it's in one of the promotional photos. Jean Grey's pregnant. Jean Grey was never pregnant. That's Madeline Pryor.
Okay.
So they're going from what they're doing, and also from the action figure line. This is me getting deep into my nerd, and I'm sorry, folks.
No, hey, listen.
Listen,
here, we always go on a tangent, trust me.
There's a Jean Grey figure in the action figure line for X-Men 97, but there's also a Madeline Pryor X-Men figure. And Madeline Pryor was the one that Cyclops dated, married, and had Cable with.
Oh, okay.
And so that's full circle because Cable's already been in the X-Men cartoon. So you're going to have time travel come back, and you're going to have, hopefully, a storyline that involves... because she's in this outfit called the Black Queen outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see the Hellfire Club, and you're going to see a little storyline called Inferno. If you've never read it, it's one of the most insane X-Men storylines of all time. You have to find it.
I feel like it's somewhere in those boxes over there.
Probably.
You guys have collected so much X-Men within the past couple months. I'm like, ooh-wee. Let's see here. Okay. Just on top of your head.
Okay.
What is the most expensive thing in this shop?
Other than... my sense of self-worth.
Other than your self-worth, yes.
Okay.
If some buyer saw this right now, and they're like, I want it.
Well, when you get into comic books, there is some higher dollar ones. Like, this one is one of the ones that everybody holds up and goes, I have this one. Because this is the first appearance of the symbiote costume. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that became Venom. And so you see the origin of the symbiote in this one. I have the fourth overall appearance of the Incredible Hulk hanging on the wall.
Yeah, I saw that.
I have the first appearance of Carnage. I have a whole bunch of different ones that are like triple digit books. And then there's some books that if somebody would like to ask about with a giant stack of money.
Yeah, come on down.
I show it to them because it's this one.
it's the one by very own Scott Beasley.
Yes, it's Scott Beasley cover art on Shell Door. This is written by Todd Kelly. But yeah, what I tell a lot of people is, as far as expensive books, read what you like.
Mm.
And if it goes up in value, that's cool. And if it doesn't, that's cool as well. Because like some of this stuff is super older items. Like, that's $100 just hanging on the wall. But if you don't read Defenders, it's not really worth that much to you.
Yeah.
But if you love X-Men stuff, that $40 comic is the most important thing ever.
And if you're a collector, if you're like me, I've been on this. So my goal, and I've posted on our social media too, my goal is to collect like the first 1,000 issues of Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, I'm here to help you.
That's why every time you... I'm also a very loyal customer. That's why every Wednesday he DMs me on Facebook. I'm like, yoink, Spider-Man 950? Check. Okay, most expensive thing in the shop. Okay. Okay. What is the coolest thing that you guys have collected over the years?
We've ended up with some really cool items floating around. I couldn't pull down. Scott has a Batman cowl that's hanging up on the wall. That is actually really cool because he has two of them. That's Batman. This is the Batman Returns cowl, and there's a Batman cowl up at the trophy shop that Scott also owns, Tift Area Trophy Shop, I guess. It is actually poured and made by a guy that directed a movie called Batman Dead End. If you've never seen it, it was a YouTube short. It's 15 minutes long.
Is it by Bat and the Sun?
Mm-mm. Okay. This is way before. This is like in the days of, I think, Alien 3 had just came out. Either 2 or 3. And there's actually a Netflix documentary about it as well. And it is Batman.
Mm.
He's fighting the Joker. And it's Batman in a cloth costume. There's no armor, body armor, anything like that. And as Batman's about to like punch Joker in the face... By the way, the Joker role in it is amazing. You see... three little dots pop up on his chest and he looks up and there's a predator and he fights the predator, and then like halfway through the fight scene you hear and it's clicking and he looks up and there's an alien hunter, and so it's Batman, and the last set shot of the movie is him flicking up two batarangs like gauntlets and he's going to fight the predator and the alien at the same time. And it is by far the coolest thing you'll ever see, because it was just completely the art of asking. Because the guy was like, he went to a friend of his that was I think he was a PA on the Alien movies, and he goes, hi, can I borrow an Alien costume? And they're like, okay. So all the Alien costumes in Batman Dead End and all the Predator costumes in Dead End are actually screen used in each movie. And that's the very first movie ever filmed that has Predator costumes and Alien costumes in it. And it's the very first Alien vs. Predator movie as well, and it was a YouTube short. Which shows, do what you want, kids. You can become anything you want.
That is true. So you think it's still up? Now you got me curious.
Oh, dude, it's still on YouTube.
It's still...
Nope. Yeah, it's called Batman Dead End, and it is the coolest thing ever. And so that's why that's one of the cool things I point to. There's also the Turtle blimp. That just makes me happy.
The Turtle... Is that one of the... Is that the original?
That's not the original.
That
is the new one. The original one, the original one they had to change, if y'all have never seen it before. It is my favorite toy of all time. It's driven by a duck, which makes me happy, and the duck has wings.
Oh.
And he can fly. So Ace Duck is the pilot of the Turtle Blimp, and that makes me happy because he doesn't need to fly, but he does it anyway. But with that one where there's repelling ropes that hang down, on the old school one, there were pegs that the turtles could hang off of, and you could pull the little trigger and it would drop the turtles down below. But what it was really for was it had bombs on the side of it, and you would pull it, and it would drop the bombs. And then somebody at Playmates, after they were making that, they're like, are the Ninja Turtles dropping bombs on New York City from up in the sky? And somebody else at Playmates was like, not anymore, they're not.
Not anymore, they're not.
And so that just kind of went away.
God, hey, you want to speak? You just opened up a core memory. My dad was a big Star Wars fan. Do you remember when the original Boba Fett figure that had the choking hazard?
Oh, the launching rocket?
My dad remembers that clear as day. And he told me, like, he's like, yeah, I launched at your uncle a few times. And what, very smart. And my dad was just talking about that the other day. That's why when you said Turtle Blimp, I'm like, oh, is that the original?
Never tell him what it's worth.
Don't. He lost it.
Just don't ever tell him what it's worth.
He lost it.
Yeah, that's why you never tell him.
Really?
Sometimes up here I tell people, they're like, I used to have this. And I'm like, that is $15,000 now.
So, yeah. Oh, I know. There's something. I feel like you guys had something from my childhood. At one point I'm like, oh, I got to walk out. Devin, where are you going? I'm crying right now. I'll be back in an hour. I'm going to go cry. But no, let's see. It was that he had. I'm actually, like, I remember. So my Turtles was also the 80s cartoon from VHS to the early 2000s Turtles, Kid WB version. That was my Turtles.
Okay.
Which that one's more grounded to the original run. Because right now I'm actually collecting the big volume books right now. I got the first two volumes. I'm trying to get the original one first before I dive into IDW.
Some of the Mirage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched, cannot remember what my brain has done today. Have you watched the one where the turtles travel through time?
Yep.
Not Ninja Turtles 3, the one where it's the animated one.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, people. You get to see the Mirage Turtles, the animated turtles, the movie turtles, all on the screen at the same time.
Well, Andrew, I gotta tell you, I think our audience is a little too young for that. That was the Kids WB era.
That's the fun thing about YouTube, is you can watch anything.
I don't know, until it gets copyright striked.
Meh.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Just like our channel, it just happens. All right, let's see here. Let's see. It's the coolest thing in the shop. Okay, that's what made me think. What if you would say to people, what makes your shop more unique than any other comic book shop, in your opinion?
I don't know if I'm unique, other than just me and Scott and Kenna. We just really like to focus on the customer. I think that's my favorite thing, is because if you're mean to the customers when they come in, or if you laugh at what they read or something like that, they're not going to come back. Mm. That's always been my driving force of what I tell people, is you're only going to screw over a customer one time.
Really?
And they're never going to come back. But if you're like, that's cool, I read this, here's what I read, you want to check out what I read? And just being able to talk back and forth with a customer is really the most important thing of a comic book shop, is you want to make sure that they feel included in things, instead of just like, you read Robin?
Yes,
why you hate that guy? He wears green underwear.
Sure
that's,
does.
That's Nightwing is one of the best books going right now. If you haven't read Nightwing, you should be reading Nightwing.
Is it hot right now?
Oh, yeah, it's Tom Taylor at his best, man. He's a giant Australian man, and I just want to give him a hug.
Really,
Nightwing's so good.
Well, what's funny? Our host of this show is a big Nightwing fan, and hey, Kyle, you hear that, bro? You need to go pick it up.
It's so good. I have the whole run here, actually. But yeah, I think that's really the most important thing of this place, is being able just to go, what you think is cool, is cool. If you like it, it's very important. Because if it's important to your customer, it's important to you. Because if they don't come back, you ain't going to be open very long.
Really?
Because it turns out, that month, at the beginning of it,
mm-hmm.
they keep making you pay the rent every month.
On the first, huh?
Yeah. It's weird, man. We could have done anything. We chose to pay taxes.
Hey, I feel you.
But yeah, it's I just think that's really important, is just making sure the customer feels like they're included in things, and that what they think is cool is cool.
Okay. So that being said, for anybody that wants to start their own business, not comic book shop per se, but any other small business, right? Because everybody starts off as a small business. Would you say that probably should be their number one goal, is treat the customers with respect?
Oh, absolutely. Well, love what you do to begin with.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's going to say, if you love what you do, you're never going to work in your day in your life. No. Kevin Smith he has several quotes about business, and one of his most important quotes about business is, do what you love, and everybody that's close to you will be sick of hearing about it by the time you're done, because it's all you're going to talk about ever. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of important. Yeah, because if you do what's important to you, it's going to be work, and you're going to work, but you're going to at least like what you did.
Yeah.
And you're going to love the end result.
Okay, good. Yeah. Any other advice you'd like to give any small businesses owners out there besides that?
Open your own taco truck and park it in the parking lot of a comic book shop.
Ooh. Noted.
Mm-hmm. Taco truck, comic book shop.
Good combo?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, speaking of... Which I know I'm getting a little ahead. That sounds oddly specific. Has that happened here?
No. I'm hoping, though.
You're hoping?
So, yeah, this is going to be you. You're going to have a podcast / taco truck.
Oh, I'm going to have the taco truck?
Yes, and you're going to interview people as you sell them tacos. This is a brilliant idea. Trademark.
Trademark, Scott.
What you're gonna do is just go, hey, here's your taco. What's your story? And you're going to take, like, 5 minutes, and that's going to be how they pay for the tacos. They're five-minute stories.
They're five-minute stories, huh? Uh-huh. They'd probably travel around on YouTube. Be the next big star.
This is actually a pretty good idea. I feel like you should start writing this stuff down. Because instead of like, hey, here's a taco, tell me 5 minutes about yourself. What's the best 5 minute story you have? And go from there.
Those people are like, okay, dude, I just want a taco. Well, that's too bad.
People are willing to wait 5 minutes for a taco.
Think so?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tempted to do an experiment at some point. Just sit here and in the shop with some tacos and just see what happens with your customers.
It could work.
That's actually not... That might not... I'll be probably coming back. That ain't a bad experiment. Oh, man. Let's see. Okay. So, listen. Mm-hmm. You guys collect... Which, I'm staring at them. You guys can collect the Pop Figs, which everybody's a big Pop Fig collector. Mm-hmm. Do you have any interesting ones in y'all's collection that you think are just, like, awesome? Oh?
This one hurts me.
Does it?
This is just fresh. This is Dragon Ball Z. This is the Super Broly, Super Saiyan Broly Funky Pop. This is the 4-inch. There's a 4-inch and a 6-inch. I'm making the table shake.
Yeah.
Broly. This one is my favorite, but the bigger one glows in the dark, so people like it better. This one's about $50. What I usually tell people about Funkos is the same thing I tell them about books, though. Collect what you like, and if they become value-wise or if they go up, that's cool. And if not, you still have something you like, because everything is, like, shaped specifically to the different characters. So there's not, like, that's the Stan Lee one. That's him with his giant comic book.
Is that an actual book itself?
No.
Oh, okay, it's just the cover?
Yeah, it's made to look like the cover.
Okay, I'm glad, because there was a Spider-Man one that I wanted, and I'm like, there ain't no way it's, like, a reprint.
Well, see, that's what you do is you just take the little bottom and pop it off.
Yeah.
And then put the actual comic book in there and pop it back on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's like my wife's. It's funny because every time my wife comes to the shop, that's the first thing she does. She looks at... I'm trying to get her into comic books, but she's big. She's getting into Star Wars and Scooby-Doo, and then she comes over to the Pop Fig wall, and she's like, I want Ahsoka. I want Aang. I want this. I'm like... Okay.
I really do like the Star Wars Pops. They're super detailed.
They are.
Is the main thing about it you see about Funko Pops. Because there's a lot of people, they just see the old school molded ones with just the arms out. And think that's what a Funko Pop is. But with, like, I just got the newest Chewbacca in last week. Like, there's actually the folds in his hair where he's holding up the bowcaster. And you can actually see the different creases and the muscles on Funko Pop. They put so much detail into them.
Do they?
And they're really cool.
Yeah, I have the only... Me, personally, I hate to break someone's feelings out there. But to me, I'm not the biggest one. Like I said, my wife is, and she's getting all the Star Wars ones. She has Padme, Leia, Daisy, and all them. They're so detailed done. It's like, wow. Mm-hmm. She loves it. We bought the Ahsoka one from you a couple months ago. She loves that Ahsoka one. And I looked at it, and I was like...
She comes with lightsabers. Lightsabers are cool.
Oh, and that's like I said, my wife's like big into them. Every time she comes in here with me, she doesn't always come in here with me, but when she does, she's in that Funko wall, and I'm like, okay, Megan.
But yeah, I think we're sitting at close to 1,000 Funko Pops on the floor.
Really?
So yeah, we got a little bit of something for everybody. So come on out.
1,000?
Hmm?
Really 1,000?
Close to it, yeah.
Okay. Honestly, I was thinking a couple hundred. I didn't think you guys were
close. Well, there's all these on the wall.
Yeah.
Most of those are double layered.
Okay.
Then there's these going up here. Then there's more Funkos on that shelf.
Ah.
Then there's my special Dragon Ball Z wall because Mr. Toriyama passed away and I wanted to put all my toys together and look at them. It made me sad.
Yeah.
And then there's more Funkos right there. Funko does a little bit of everything. They do scene pops. They do big pops, little pops.
The big pops to me are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets me, it's just the prices of them.
Well...
Oh, are you about to pull it?
See, like, they make them even that big.
Oh, with the Marvel Zombie. I'm surprised. Well, I'm surprised no one that one sold. I thought that one sold already. I remember seeing that one a while back.
See, that's why I'm good. I get more stuff in. Okay. New stuff comes in every week.
Every week? Okay. I thought it sold a while ago. Let's see. Do okay. So the people at want to know: did you guys ever hit any conventions so that way they can meet you in person?
As far as working conventions, we've done TigerCon. We're working on doing a couple other conventions upcoming this year. As far as hitting the conventions, I usually do Atlanta Comic Con. Dragon Con is the motherland. It is the best con of all time. I've done AWA, MomoCon. I've done a couple of cons over in Alabama. I really like conventions just because you get out and meet the people, and you can network with other comic book people, which is really awesome.
Okay.
Because that's how we've met a lot of the people that have come up here and done signings before, is just going to comic book conventions and going, hey, you want to come to my comic book shop?
That's how, I'm not going to lie, that's how we got our first guest. Shout out to our first guest of the year, Dragon Weeks Creation, who does, check out his website. His episode's actually going to be out here in 2 weeks. He does everything from signs, which I didn't bring his fairy tale sign. He did a pretty dope fairy tale sign.
Very
for
cool.
Me. And he does dice and dice boards, things like that, but that's how we did it.
I'm so proud of you. My little guy just threw to a plug.
I do it every time.
You're like, that is a thing. I can link to the thing. Proud of you.
Oh, dude, I do it all the time. He was actually our first guest of the year, so I'm like, and I sit there at the house. I'm like, Dragon Whip's Creation. I sit there with the sign. And go ahead.
The fun thing about this area is you're in a good place for it.
Really?
Is because there is a lot, as far as the nerd community, that goes on in South Georgia. Mm-hmm. Well, and Georgia. Tony Harris, one of the guys that helped create the Starman comic in the 90s, he lives up in Warner Robins.
Does he really?
Trad Moore, the guy that did the Strange Town of Luther Strode, and he did a ton of stuff for Marvel. He did a Ghost Rider run. He's from Snellville, of all places.
Thing. That's
there's this giant big concrete racetrack in the middle of a dirt field.
Okay.
It's called Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Okay, nearest
It's right outside there.
Okay.
There's nothing in Snellville except
the
racetrack.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's all you had to say, because my Atlanta brain's like the racetrack. I see the racetrack. I didn't realize that was Snellville.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to go
they got a Wendy's now.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's high dollar.
But yeah, it's and then Georgia just ate up with the wrestling. Like, there's wrestling all over Georgia.
I know. We're actually going to get to that soon. Actually, we'll plug in that in a second. I'm going to get on a tangent. Let's see.
Look at you. He's keeping on track.
I know. No, trust me. If you listen to our stuff, me and Kyle and like guests, we'll be like, you know what? We got bullet points, but we're going to take a far left turn here, and we're going to take, and we're like, Kyle, focus. And he'll be like, Devin, focus. Oh, I'm sorry. But let's see. Okay, so I've noticed here recently you guys have added to your autograph selection here for people to buy. Do you have a favorite autograph?
Well, we do a lot of autographs. We've recently put in a lot of autographed 8x10s, which we have Vicky Valancourt from
I did see that
Waterboy movie.
I did see that last week.
We like Vicky Valancourt. We got a lot of autographed books. This particular one, is signed by my boss himself, Scott Beasley, because this was the book that he did the cover for that Todd Kelly wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. It's so cute. This is a book for all ages, and the back of it was done by B.B. Beasley, Scott's daughter.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I have one of the ones that is signed by both of them. This one's really cool, too, speaking of Tony Harris.
Yeah.
Tony is an amazing individual. His art is just gorgeous. It's got a really old school goth style to it. It's like the 60s meet the 40s. But this is really cool because it's one of the special editions. So it's signed on the inside by Tony and B. Clay Moore.
Okay.
This is a really, really cool book. But yeah, we got a lot of different stuff. I have signed pops, signed comics, signed toys.
Yeah, I know. I saw the Vicky Valor one last weekend when I came pick up my stuff. And then I saw you guys added Android 18's voice actress.
Mm-hmm. I picked up, what's his name from Full Metal Alchemist?
I know. I saw it too, but I was like, Full Metal. And I was like, I can't think of his name. But I see his autograph.
Edward.
Mm-hmm. And then I see, how did you land the Mandalorian autograph? That was what I was going to ask you the other day. Like, how did you land that?
I think that one came in a collection that we picked up. I think that's where that one came from, but it has the little COA sticker with it and the certificate of authenticity to show you it's real.
It's real. Oh, Christian Bale. You had Christian Bale too at some point. Is it still
right there?
Did you land that one in collection as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys usually... Okay. Oh, we accidentally skipped a question.
Okay.
So you guys not only do new comic books,
mm-hmm.
but you guys do older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you guys find your older trade paperback stuff?
As far as old stock, we have close to 15,000 books in the back we haven't even touched yet. There is another few thousand that I'm going through that are on my desk right now. We pick up collections every now and then there's just some stuff that filters in from here, there, and everywhere. We've bought collections as small as 2 books before, and then there's a couple of times that we've had to load up 2 vehicles. It's, with back issues, there's people around here with lots of collections. But that's what we did was we picked up a lot of stuff. We started small to begin with. It was just the same way that we built the stores. We started small, and then we've picked up stuff as we go along.
Okay.
But right now, I just have all of my stuff in the back that I'm filtering out. We have new old books that hit the shelf every day.
Yeah, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. I know that's like a lot of stuff. I saw a bunch of X-Men stuff came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
It was the X-Men stuff this week. You've always added stuff to your Spider-Man stuff. Like I said, I'm trying to collect the first Amazing Spider-Man issues. There's always new stuff every time I come in here. So, yeah. It's pretty impressive. I saw some Invincible Iron Man, too. I was like, ooh, how'd you find that? Let's see. Okay. Not only do you guys do that, you do card games as well, like Flesh and Blood.
We do.
Do you guys still do Magic the Gathering?
We do. We do Magic the Gathering every week. We have free play all throughout the week. As long as there's not an event going on, you can just come in here and hang out and play. We do Magic the Gathering, Flesh and Blood. Lorcana is the new game from Disney that's
okay.
catching on. And then another game that's been catching on like wildfire is the One Piece card game. That one has been, it's grown really, really well around here. It started really small, and then there's like a 30 to 50 player base for One Piece now.
Huh.
That's just in this little area.
Okay.
So it's steady growing.
Let me ask this. What is your favorite card game of all time?
It's Magic the Gathering.
Magic. Personally, Magic?
Yeah, I love Magic, man. I've played Magic since 1995, 6, right around that area.
Mm-hmm.
And just ever since, I've just always loved the game.
Okay. Believe it or not, I'm a big Yu-Gi-Oh guy.
Okay.
Yu-Gi-Oh, the only thing, this is funny, the only thing that stays intact, my Yu-Gi-Oh cards got damaged, but our Pokemon cards are sealed away. I've got stuff from like the early 2000s just sitting in a container. And my brothers, we found them, we're like, ooh. And they were like, we gonna pull them out? No. And I'm talking like, which one was it? Ruby and Groggon and I'm drawing a blank with the blue legendary whale. Groggon.
Steve the whale.
Steve the whale.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far we got. And then my brother had some my oldest brother had some Gen 1 Pokemon cards. And we're like, oof.
Yeah.
Those are staying locked up for a hot minute.
Anything from base set 1, base set 2. Base set 1 is really good. Base set 2 is good. Even when you're getting into the older Pokemon mm-hmm. cards get, the higher up the sets go. Because, like, it used to be base set 1, base set 2 was the main ones that everybody was trying to get. Then the people that were kids when Team Rocket and Jungle came out, they started getting older and they wanted to go back and rebuild their collection. So the Team Rocket and the Jungle sets are going up. And so it's just kind of ticking up as far as what vintage Pokemon is going up.
Really?
But if it's base set 1, base set 2, especially like if you're talking Charizard, Charizard's like the Donald Duck of Pokemon, man. Everybody loves that guy. If you're going to fight me on Donald Duck, we're going to go.
No, I mean, as a kid, I like him. But right now, I'm sticking with, like in Pokemon Legend Arceus, I'm sticking with my buddy Cyndaquil.
Okay.
You didn't know that, did you? Cyndaquil and Totodile. Those are my two go-tos if I had to pick them.
Okay.
Although, I'm just going to go off track for a second. Do you remember the very first gen, Pokemon Red and Blue? Who was your starter?
Cabbage Turtle.
Oh, Bulbasaur?
Yes.
Bulbasaur fan?
I went very, because I had watched other people play.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, as far as what other characters I see that's floating around out there, I'm going to go with Bulbasaur because I have a better shot of getting more candy for him. So Bulba, I started with Bulba, and it kind of worked out pretty well.
Okay. Believe it or not, mine was Squirtle.
Squirtle's a good boy.
I mean, until he involves in the blast one, you're like, all right. And then, yeah. But then again, everybody loves Charizard, which he's OP'd and things like that. But that's a discussion for another day. Oh, good Lord. Okay, for the card game. Okay, so you guys run the shop for 5 years, which shockingly, that's when we started. Actually, podcasting was about 5 years ago.
Okay.
This show actually, we started this show actually back in 2019 because, funny enough, my podcast, the More Sports Podcast, was a radio show in college. And when podcasting got big in 2019, I just started to revamp it. And I had our host of the show, Kyle, and a good friend of ours, Izzy, were sitting around the dorm. We're like, oh, let's just be silly.
Okay.
Of course, your co-host here did not remember his password at the time. So Kyle's like, dude, I'm a nerd. I can launch and create my own pop culture show. Let's create the Random Hour. We've been rolling with it ever since.
Did you remember your password?
After a very long couple hours, I did.
Okay. But you got to write these passwords down.
We do now. It's okay. In a vault with like 20 files.
Because you know there's a dude that got locked out of $37 million in Bitcoin because he lost his password, right?
Really?
You only get 3 shots at it. If you miss that password 3 times, it's gone. And he missed the 3 passwords because he couldn't remember his password to get into it. And went,
oh, I'd be starting that taco truck business to stay afloat.
Yep.
But as
tell me about your story. Let me tell you about mine.
The taco truck.
You got to write stuff down.
You got to write stuff down. But being in business for 5 years, do you have any interesting stories that you can share?
Yes.
Name them all.
Oh, you just asked if I had them. I said yeah. Yes. That's it.
That's it? That kind of crazy?
You got to bring me the taco.
Oh, I got to bring you the taco?
That's how you get the stories. You bring the taco. All
right. Tell me one story and I'll do it. Yeah,
I've been selling comic books for 22 years now.
Okay.
And it's definitely interesting. There's a lot of people you meet over the years that are really cool. Like we met Brian Polito, the guy that created Lady Death.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever seen his Lady Death stuff, it's out there, and there's like fire and demons and monsters and dragons. And his Evil Ernie character is stylized to look like Brian himself because he's very skinny and has this giant hair that's all over the place, and he's got these features that are just crazy, and you're like, oh, okay, this guy is completely insane. He really is the nicest guy ever. You should meet Brian Polito.
Okay.
But, so I walk up to this booth at Dragon Con, and there he is. I'm like, this is really cool. And he's talking to this guy, and he's moving his hands really quickly, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on over here. And I get over, and it's Ming Chen from Comic Book Man that he's talking to.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, and I can't find it. And I can't. And it all goes back to taco truck. He goes, I can't find it. And they're discussing what's the best taco truck to stop at in underground Atlanta. Because there's 3 of them,
mm.
and they couldn't remember which one's the best one. So I was like, huh. I also did almost get in a fight with Lou Ferrigno one time.
Did you really?
But that's a different story for a different day.
I need the taco for that one. You need
the taco
for that?
But yeah, the cool thing about cons is that a lot of the people that do comic book stuff, they are really the nicest people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we met John Romita Jr., the guy that did Spider-Man, mm-hmm. all that good stuff. We met him at Dragon Con. And me and him were talking about doing a couple of sketches for me. And this guy walks up with 3 copies, and if you've never seen it, it's one of the hardest to find Spider-Man comics ever. It's the black cover Spider-Man, the 9/11 comic. It's the silent issue.
It is hard.
And this guy walks up and he had 3 copies of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramita's like, it's a really hard to find copy. He goes, yeah. He said, I usually pick them up wherever I can. And he goes, yeah, they're pretty hard to find. He goes, no, I was there. And Romita just stops. He was sketching something for me, and he stopped. He goes, what? And he goes, yeah. He said he was the first responder firefighter. And Romita goes, hang on. And he turns around, and he grabs one of everything off the table, like vintage comics prints and the whole 9 yards, and he signs all of them. And then he stacks all of those up and then signs two comics for him, stacks those up, and grabs him another one. He had a black issue behind the counter.
Mm.
Grabs another one of those, signs that for him, and adds it to the stack. He goes, "You got enough arms for everything? You need me to send somebody with you?" And the guy's like, "No." He goes, "All right, cool. You have a good day." He gave him like $3,000 worth of swag. And that's just comic book people, man. They're all cool. They're all giving. Of course, the cool thing about him is if you walk by his table, he's got his little plastic cup.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, "Oh, you have water like everybody else." Nope. He's full-blooded Italian. It's just red wine. Just so, red yeah, wine. That's the fun thing is about there's like thousands of those comic stories floating around about just how good comic book people are. So, yeah, definitely hit conventions. Come to your comic book shops.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much all the questions I have for you. So we're going to go ahead and just dig into what I figured I'd do and show people what I've actually bought from you guys the past 3 years that I've lived here in Tipton, Georgia. And, of course, I've got to start off with the – well, I don't know if this book's hot anymore, but it was at the time I bought these – was the very first issue of Robert Kirkman's new series, Void Rider, here, issue number one, which – is it still a hot book?
Oh, yeah. Void Rivals is really cool. It was done – all you knew about it to begin with was the name Void Rivals and a little description in previews that said Classified.
Yeah.
And
show off a couple pages. Go ahead, I'm listening to you.
And I've known Kirkman for years because Kirkman's one of those creators that he actually gets on the, and this is how I'm really going to show my age,
yeah.
He gets on chat boards, used to, and he'd actually chat with the comic book fans. He actually did a all-call.
Spoiler, yeah. Transformer. That's what got me excited when I picked this up from you. And I saw this panel right here. I said, ooh, all right.
He did an all-call with comic book shops. He goes, "Hey, look." He said, "We're going to do a Zoom about this book. We're going to talk about this book. Please don't leak what I'm going to tell you."
Mm-hmm.
And he laid out in about 20-minute all-call, "I'm going to do a universe called the Energon Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I have the rights to Transformers. I have the rights to G.I. Joe. This is what we're going to do. We are going to continue the G.I. Joe comic book series from 300 on with its own storyline, and then we're going to have this Energon universe that has the Transformers and the G.I. Joe in it, and it's going to be amazing." And I'm like, and that was the yep. Void Rivals universe. It's yep. him.
That's what I'm about to show you. I also have issue. I figured that's why I grabbed both the issues.
Yeah.
Of course, we have issue number two. This was also hot.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love this series. I got to pick up issue three when I get a chance. It's just one thing I liked about Robert Kirkman's writing is he's action.
Mm-hmm.
All action. I actually just recently finished the Invincible series, and oh, man.
He did that. There was... Yes. He was doing Walking Dead.
Yep.
And somebody had said, like, the modern superhero comic is dead. And Kirkman goes, "No, it's not. You just got to change it." And so that's when he did Invincible. And... they were, they did, he did one that was a children's book, and it's called Super Dinosaur, and it's this kid and his pet dinosaur who has laser rockets on his wrist, and, like, Kirkman's just a really good writer. He can write to any level, and that's what I like about it, because Walking Dead, definitely not for kids.
No.
Super Dinosaur, super for kids. Because, yeah, like, Walking Dead has people getting eaten and doing the eating and killing, and Super Dinosaur has a dinosaur with rockets.
Well, it's funny. When I finished, so I collected all the mini volumes up until I got to the Big Giant 3 book. And that ending, oh, man, I'm not spoiling anything for anybody. I shed it a little bit. Oh, that's such a good story. And then another thing I got in my collections, because like I said, my goal was to collect the first 1,000 issues of Amazing Spider-Man. And I actually got this when it was on sale from your shop. I've been waiting. It's Amazing Spider-Man 602. It's from the 2008-2013 run. Back when Spider-Man was trying to actually hit, it's a storyline where Spider-Man tries to date again after, you know, him and MJ divorce and all the other
stuff.
Well, yeah, it's an old series. People Google it. But yeah, by Val Lane, Kingston Kirkland, and then is this Cox's last name? I can't forget his first one. But it's, again, another great one. This book's actually went up. And of course, I just love, this is my personal favorite Spider-Man when I was a kid, the 2008 to 2013 run.
Yeah, that's Fred Van Lente that wrote that.
Yeah,
and it is.
This is why I'm kind of glad you're here, because I've been like, last names, no first.
<That's okay. laughs>
But no, I almost started to bring the Spider Islands that I picked up from you, but I was like, this one's cooler, because I know this one's actually more popular. And of course, dude, the ads. Everybody remember Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Dude, I loved Ultimate Alliance and Ultimate Alliance 2.
Did you play the third one?
Yes. This was my team. It was Storm, Captain America, and Wolverine. That was my team. And I loved that game. If you never played it, I think you could still download it on one of the networks. I think PlayStation Network has it.
Should be put. I think I looked up too, because I told my wife, I was like, yeah, I'm going to replay these at some point. Two, the only thing I didn't like about three was the graphics to me wasn't very realism, which this, you know, I know we're going on a little quick tangent, but Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 to me was kind of ground, like it was more grounded, a little bit, I mean, rated team, you know, a little bit blood, kind of for all ages, you know, teenage to young kids, but it wasn't too extreme.
Well, that's what I liked about 2 is that it, what they really did with it was they ran a comic book storyline and just made it move.
Yeah,
they didn't try to add or anything to air, like put bells and whistles on it. No, it's just like, here's the heroes, here's the storyline that's going on. Build your three-player team and go.
Yeah,
and there's really cool interactions between the characters, like Captain America. See, you can blast with Iron Man and hit the shield and kill people with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sorry, knock them unconscious. My Pokemon fell asleep. and then there's like the Wolverine one where you can fastball special Wolverine. Mm. It's such a fun game. I love that game.
My only problem with 3 was I just didn't like the art style. They still kept to the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
It was a solid, to me it was a solid story. I just didn't care for the graphics, but it still had the charm of the gameplay.
Yeah,
but you could kind of tell it was more that cartoonish feel. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a bad game. What was your opinions on it real fast?
It was alright. I really enjoyed it. 2's always going to be my favorite. So yeah, I dug that one most of all.
Really? Okay. Well, Andrew, this next one I'm going to show is actually, this is actually the very first book I bought from you guys about 3 years ago when I was, how I came across y'all's shop, which y'all showed people. It was the first book I ever bought from, it was Batman 89,
mm-hmm.
when this came out. And it's interesting how I came across your shop was I just moved to Tipton, and I was like, what's things to do? And you guys were the top thing on the list, so I was like, oh, okay, comic book shop. I'll just walk in there. Ooh, Batman, Michael Keaton Batman? Yoink.
Yep.
And I grabbed it.
Continues the Batman 89 universe.
Yes, and if you guys, if you haven't read it, I know there's a volume book of it now, mm-hmm. so get that. It is a continuation. It's in between, I want to say, I feel like it's after Batman Returns.
Yes, it's a continuation of the universe from Batman Returns on.
That's what I thought.
It kind of excludes all the other things out of that universe. The Tim Burton verse is its own verse as far as this book goes.
Yeah.
And so it continues that thing of, like, this storyline is the Two-Face storyline with Billy Dee Williams as Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, there's another volume, and then there's going to be a Harley Quinn volume where they bring Harley Quinn into the Batman 89 universe. And
yep, that was actually the next book, the newest series. This is, again, another continuation. You got to pick it up. And one thing I do like about trade paperbacks, especially the older ones, the ads, of course, you know, when this book came out, Aquaman 2 was being promoted. Fun times for the DCU.
Look, man. Look. He tried real hard.
He did try real hard.
He swam so hard.
he swam.
And he swam.
And he caught fish.
Yeah, he did. He does. You said call him, not control him.
Yeah.
Have you ever read that book? There's a Aquaman storyline. It's at the beginning of the New 52, where they destroy all of the Aquaman tropes in one issue. Aquaman goes into like a seafood restaurant, and they yell at him.
I vaguely remember it.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing. In my opinion, and I'm going to say this live, to me, and I don't usually trash comic book creators because they try really hard.
Okay.
But to me, in my opinion, this is pure opinion.
Okay.
I personally did not like the 52.
Mm.
Everything they did, I just personally didn't care for it. But the button, the Doomsday Clock, to wrap it all up, good. But
it was good stuff. What I liked about New 52 is there was different flavors for everybody. Because I was actually working at a comic book shop when the New 52 happened. Surprise. And the Bat books are really good.
Mm.
Like, the Bat books are stellar during the New 52 universe, and I kind of enjoyed. There's a Green Lantern book that's really good in that run that is spectacular. So So yeah, don't exclude the whole New 52, because there are some rough parts. The Hulkman book's pretty rough.
Is it?
Yeah. But there's still some good stuff, too.
I just think what they got going on now is pretty good. Because the Doomsday Clock, if you guys haven't read Doomsday Clock, I started to grab it, but it was the hardback, and I was like, eh. Doomsday Clock, read through 52, get the Doomsday Clock. Great. I mean, the Watchmen were in it. I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with
it. Oh, don't worry if you go over there. There's the trade paperback as well.
Oh, do you really have trade paperbacks over there?
Yes.
Oh, I bought the hardback.
I got the whole wall of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, soft covers, books. I got books for days, sir.
I'll stick to my hardcover. Hello. Big shout out to when you guys came in clutch and gave me the TMNT hardback cover of Last Ronin. That was clutch. Because that book.
Last Ronin's fantastic. It's very good. It's one of the best Ninja Turtle storylines ever written.
Mm.
And it was the first storyline that was written after Eastman and Laird had got back together, because they had. They blew up and broke apart for years, and they finally got back together and made friends.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Have you ever watched a TV show on Netflix, The Toys That Made Us?
Yeah.
There's an episode that is a Ninja Turtles episode where they talk about the Ninja Turtle figures. That episode is the first time that Eastman and Laird had been in the same room in years. And they actually hooked back up because of that TV show. And that TV show is what gave you Ninja Turtles / Ronin.
Dude, that's pretty good.
See, if you had a taco at 5 minutes, would have been worth it.
I didn't know they broke up. I just honestly thought it was like everything else. They just sold the rights to IDW, and you know, they give younger writers a chance for their characters. I didn't know.
Oh no, there was a big blow up.
Big blow up.
Yeah, definitely check out The Toys That Made Us, the Ninja Turtles episode, and the wrestling figure episode, because I like wrestling.
I did too. And I see you got something else for them, Andrew. What else you got like to show the folks today?
Oh, part of Scott's expanding was his record selection. He has a few hundred records, probably more at this point. He gets new records in every 2 weeks. This is, in fact, Hotel California by the Eagles. Your personal favorite rock band, right?
No.
Hurtful.
My new personal favorite rock band is actually somebody we just brought on the show, aka Felicity, out in Orlando, Florida.
Okay. I don't think I have vinyl by them yet, but we'll see if we can get it for them.
They'll make it.
But yeah, it's a that's really cool. Of course, if you like toys, I have toys for days, but my favorite toy that we've got in recently is the 1/1 scale Artillery Trooper Stormtrooper helmet. It fits on your head. It's got a voice changer.
Does it really?
Yeah. Can make you sound like a Stormtrooper.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. God, you remember, I remember, so we did buy, so I'm going to remember, that just opened up a core memory real fast right here. So we bought, so when episode 3 came out, we bought the Darth Vader helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing more funny than middle of the night, Luke, I am your father. And Mom just wakes up like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
Did y'all ever get that? I'm sure you probably played with it.
Oh yeah, I had a Darth Vader helmet growing up. It was way more rudimentary, because it was in the dark ages, because I'm an eensy bit older than you.
So you didn't get the, when they remade it for episode 3 with a little voice changer, you didn't have some fun with it?
No, I didn't have that one. I do have one at my house that's the newest version that has the voice changer in it. It's all fancy.
Really?
I picked that up. Here, Grego's Comics, Tiffin, Georgia, 301 3rd Street East, right here, downtown Tiffin.
Okay, yeah.
Ding!
And speaking of Tiffin, yep, you're about to pull out the flyer. It's actually funny, so we got coming up on March 30th. Tipton's very own new organization, Kraken Pro Wrestling.
Kraken Pro Wrestling.
Which is funny, in the main event, I actually interviewed one of the main event stars, Jay Too Strong.
It's not how you say his name.
How do you say it?
I'm sorry, but this man, this is Brandon Watley, and Brandon Watley's good people. If you've never met Brandon Watley, he's good people. But this man's attorney, Justin Case, hey Justin, he will yell at me if you don't say his client's name right, because it's Jay. You got that part right, but it's Too Strong! If you don't say it right, you get sued.
See, here's the thing. I can't, you know, his biggest thing is he doesn't like being called too weak. And I made my first uh-oh, and I was playing with him. That episode's out now on our YouTube channel and my podcast, the More Sports Podcast. Yeah, he came after me hard. He says on March 30th, he's going to give me a news notice job, so I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be out at the, we actually just saw it yesterday that they reported that the TIFF Theater is still promoting it, which is really cool. So they're going to be in charge of concessions and all kinds of good stuff. But it's going to be held at the Sid stage in the park. So you know what that means?
Free.
It's free! You get a wrestling show absolutely free, and this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 matches absolutely free. You get Too Strong, Justin Case is back, the Sunbelt Wrestling Champion.
Yep. And they just added a championship, too, with, he's on this card. I just looked it up yesterday.
Yeah, it's the Academy Championship with Logan Stevens and Xander King. Or are you talking about the one that is...
He's right here at the bottom.
Carl Hager.
Yeah, Carl Hager versus Saturday Night Scream.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying it wrong. IWE.
Mm-hmm.
IUW. I keep saying that promotion.
Carl Hager's going for it. If you've never seen Carl Hager, he has a giant purple top hat. He is impossible to miss. Now the man, the myth, the legend, will also be there. You got to make sure to tag this guy. It is the Sweeper, Jack Miles. He's from the mean streets of Warner Robins, Georgia, and he's going to clean up Kraken Pro Wrestling.
Think he's going to clean it up?
Yes, he is. He is the man, the myth, the legend. He is, in fact, the basis for the comic book that was created right here in Grego's Comics for Kraken Pro Wrestling. Have you read it yet?
I have not.
It is, in fact, on my Facebook page. It is done by our very own Kenna Barfield. And it is about Mr. Jack Miles. And it is actually a comic done, and it is narrated by the Kraken himself. You should check it out. I got it on Facebook. It's our Facebook, Grego's Comics, G-R-A-Y, Ghost Comics, as well as on our Tiki Talk. I have TikTok as well.
You're great. The Grego's
and Instagram.
One. Hmm? Grego's Comics?
Yeah. I'm everywhere.
I have not seen it. I'll have to check it out.
And then next week, it's going to be this week, but there was a shipping error with some of his books. Next week, we're going to have Professor. Jeff Newberry in. Newberry is an amazing guy. This is his new book. How to Talk About the Dead. It is really good, and he's going to be here doing a reading and a signing next Saturday at 1 o'clock. So we definitely hope you come out and check it out. He's going to have his copies of his book for sale, and he's going to be meeting, shaking hands, kissing babies.
All right. Well, Andrew, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we end it?
Nope, I just hope y'all come out here and see us. We're going to be here all the time, Tuesday through Saturday, and hope you come check us out.
Well, all right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for this week's episode of The Random Hour. Don't forget to follow my podcast, The More Sports Podcast, where you never know what you're going to get. Like I said, I just did an episode with Jay
Too Strong.
Yeah, well, me and him kind of got into a feud, but I'll be there March 30th. He says he's going to give me a nose job, but I'll be there. I actually want to go grab a poster board now and just, like, throw it up in the air and be like, where's my nose job at?
He's got you.
Oh, I can't wait.
You make the sign. He'll help you out.
You help me out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. So that's the newest episode. Then we have our movie podcast, Popcorn Buckets, by me and Kyle. We review a movie every day of the week. And Andrew, just for your pleasure, we've actually dived into the MCU. So we got a couple MCU, Godzilla, Gamora. Okay. We're almost wrapping up Neon Galion. Almost wrapped up with that. So we got anime.
You need to watch Maximum Overdrive.
That's on the bucket list.
It's the greatest movie of all time.
It's in the bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
We actually just recorded The Killer Sofa.
Okay, I'm with you. You need to also watch Rubber.
That's the tire one, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a killer tire with psychic powers. You should find it out. It's Robert Rubber. He's a tire and he kills people.
That's also, we haven't recorded it yet, but it's on our master list.
All right.
Because we got to have fun with it.
Very cool.
But yes, you can check those out. The video version of this episode will also be on Spotify and on our YouTube channel, Random Incorporated.
I like it.
And then you can follow us on our social medias at Twitter at RandomCorporate1 and on Instagram as BucketBoys2023. Andrew, that'll be it. Any last words you want to say?
I'm good. Thank y'all very much. Come shop at Grey Ghost Comics.
All right. Till next time, guys.